I want to welcome you to the new Drag Champ Show. The three amigos are leading this show, none other than Jake Hodge, Mr. Hoodrich, Ryan Gleghorn, and Gary Don Free, Mr. Drag Champ himself. Now, I wouldn't ride to the store with these three yahoos, but you put them together for some good old stories, some racing news, some results from all over the world. Now, that's a party you just don't want to miss. So, let's tune in, let's hang on, and let's get it on. I want to welcome you to the Drag Champ Show.
All right, with us tonight on the Drag Champ Show is a man. I want to say a young man, but he's older than me, and he's getting older as it is. He is a threat off the bottom. He's a threat off the top. He is, I believe, the only person to win two different $40,000 more races in Loose Rocker Promotions, and he does it all behind the wheel of a Mopar, EH3, Ernie Humes. How you doing, bud?
Good. How are you?
I am fantastic. It is finally cooled off here in Texas, so we're not sweating to death over here, and super excited for some big money racing coming up.
Yeah, there's plenty of that.
Oh, yeah. Shoot. Last time I saw you, we were in Bristol, and I asked you where you were going. You said, oh, I'm going to Piedmont. I was like, oh, you'll probably win, and then you fucking did.
Yeah, you had a good guess at that one.
Just a little 40K, right?
Yeah. I was lucky they let me sneak by.
Now, wait a second. You go to Piedmont and race against all these guys and you snuck by? I don't believe that.
Yeah, I actually hit the top really good for me, but I missed it in the final and I got away with one, but I guess that's part of racing.
Yeah, but so the 40 grander itself, didn't it get pushed over into, was it Sunday?
So we ran most of it Saturday. And then we got down to four cars, and we finished it Sunday morning.
When you come off the trailer, you were like seven total Sunday morning.
Yeah, I was 003. My opponent was 003. And we were really fast that morning. And luckily, my guy was working me pretty early. So he gave me the easy decision to bail out, and I dropped dead on the full.
Mm, nice. Nasty. Yeah. So that was the Super Door Car Challenge? Or Showdown. I can't keep up with Beard's racing.
Race names. Yeah, it was a Super Door Car deal.
And then, but you've also won the Bigfoot 40Ks.
Yeah, last year at Darlington.
I know you were a foot breaker before you were a top bulb guy.
Correct.
So which one means more to you?
I think foot break will always be, you know, like when you start out doing something, that kind of holds a special place. And I started out in 2008 foot breaking, and eventually I told Dad I'd like to try something new. So I'm thinking like 16, we put a power glide in my car, and I started running top zone. And I like top a lot just because it's different. I think foot break will always be like number one.
I feel that. I mean, I come from a predominantly foot break family, so.
Yeah, my mom and dad, when they used to race, all they ever ran was foot break too. I mean, we never had a top bulb car per se. And I mean, realistically, my car is not your ideal top bulb car. I mean, it's full steel, full interior, on a 10-inch radial. So,
but Hoosier at that, right?
Yeah, I've always ran the Hoosier drag radial. And I run the old school one that's been out for a while that all the stock and super stock guys used to run.
Yeah, not the new one?
No, I haven't tried the new one yet. Lucas wanted me to, but the other one works too good.
So do you have to change up a lot to switch from top to bottom?
Not really. I got a my delay box is on like a 5-way trailer plug.
Yeah.
So you can do it in 30. I mean, I got the box, got a piece of flat bar on the back with Velcro. So it's Velcro's in my dash. And then you just got a little trailer plug you plug in and out.
So you switch up between in the same race, or is it just week to week you decide where you're going to race?
So originally, I mean, up until this year, I used to run both classes in one day. But this year, I was kind of over the heat. So I only ran one class when I went to the track. I think it was like 2 years ago, I won the championship at Farmington in top, and I actually finished second in footbreak by one round. So that would have been pretty cool to pull off both in 1 year. But I think Jeff Flood got me that year.
So how often do you – oh, I just got one more question around. How often do you go off the top, but or you race on top, leaving off the bottom?
Not so much anymore as I used to. When I first started running top, I'd footbreak and top. But now that I got a box, it's just so much easier. I won't say easier, but it's better to be more consistent, I guess, letting go of a button than it is foot braking, for me at least.
I mean, yeah, I mean, steer, usually people are more consistent off the top than they are off the bottom. I mean, at least you're like, unless you're like fucking Hastings, who can be 10 or better every time he swaps feet.
That's kind of what I was thinking. I'm like, how much do you pull that shit off?
not often. I mean, it's like, I mean, like Biddle Jr. hits the bottom a lot. He's really consistent. You know, Ricky Bear and all them. But
yeah, Ricky Bear won't even come off the top.
Yeah. Well, Biddle started to more now, but he used to not be a fan either.
Yeah, he got married into the top bowl. So.
Yeah. Yeah, you got your select few guys that can knock down the bottom with them. But like around here, we never really had the no box thing until like the last 2 years. And a lot of those guys no box. They don't really foot break in top per se. I think Hastings does, but most of those guys no box in top. But okay, again, I'll use a delay box if I can before I try that.
Yeah, we got really just one guy. Just Jake Howard does it around here.
Yeah. I've tried it some, but pretty cool.
Like, I know I don't have like a whole lot. My odds aren't all that great. But I've tried it before, and I've never felt more like I brought, like, a plastic spoon to a fucking gunfight.
Yeah.
Like, it's – you're like, man, like, whose idea was this shit? Like, it sounded really cool on the truck driving over here, but then you roll up there, you're like, yeah, my foot brake hits were 34 and 72, and I got this guy. He was 6 and 4, and he's dialed, like, 455.
Yeah. Are you talking about me again?
No, I was talking about myself. I know you weren't 6 and 4.
Yeah, that ain't
no, the 36 and 72.
Oh, yeah, no. No, that wasn't you so far. But thank you for joining us.
Yeah, I was going to say, if that's about me, you cut me in half there. You're giving me too much credit.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Your foot brake hits, like, they get really good, and then like they wander off again. But your top bolt's fairly solid.
It's kind of like my thought process. It kind of ends up that way every now and then. So what people don't understand is what Nick Hastings is off the bottom. Ernie is kind of like that in slot cars, right?
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Like you know when Ernie doesn't show up on like the what you guys race on what Wednesday night sometimes.
Yeah.
And like Adam's all excited posting, oh, I swept him. Well, it's because Ernie worked late or Ernie you know fell asleep or something or he had to go and I don't know, work the race. I'm not sure, but. Like, how long have you been slot car racing? Let's talk about that for just a minute because people don't understand it. Like, it's just as competitive. It's just as, you know, it's something to do in the wintertime, yeah, but at the same time, though, it's like we're all competitive people and it gets pretty intense.
So I think slot car racing is actually more aggravating than real car racing.
Oh, yeah.
Because the fact that you can lose 10 times in one night, you know, it kind of sucks. But
more if you have to buy it back.
Yeah, I mean, like, in big cars, you lose twice, you're done. I mean, you get over it. But slot cars, you just keep losing. It's kind of gets to you. But we started in, like, 2010-ish slot car racing. We went to a Farmington banquet, and the guy asked us if we ever heard of it. And my dad's, like, more of a kid than he is anything. So yeah. He really is like, he's like, man, what is this? When you go check it out. So it was actually the first one we went to was in a guy's basement. It's a little 8th mile track on a 12-volt car battery. So, like, if you dropped, the other guy would speed up and break out. So, so when we first started, like, people knew that. And then we're new, so we didn't know what was going on. But, like, and I think my dad opened his own place in, like, 2012-ish. He got tired of traveling. Because, I mean, as you guys know, slot car racing can go till 3, 4 in the morning.
Give credit where it's due. Your dad built the nicest slot car track in the country.
Yeah, I like to think it's really nice, but of course I'm biased. So.
There are a few, and you know, but they can have different surfaces and stuff. A lot of them are like the hard, like if you had an old wooden table, a lot of that surface is mainly, I don't know what do they call that?
I'm not even sure.
Like a press board surface kind. It's smooth. Don't get me wrong, but like we've got marble. Like if that's not bougie, I don't know what is.
So, I mean, ours is Corian, but there was a track in Tennessee one time that was a marble surface. It was pretty nuts. But, yeah, we got Corian top.
How many times in your life have you seen Big Earn wear pants?
I'd probably say less than 10. One of them being recently. I think at the Frenzy one year, it got really cold and he threw them on. But
yeah.
it's not often.
And, like... You get it honestly from him. You know, you're not a guy that's going to go out and show a lot of emotion, get mad, get upset, throw a whole bunch of stuff. you know, your dad's just kind of, it is what it is. Yeah, we just won the Bigfoot 40K, no big deal, you know. Then, you know, you get out of the car and you're not even smiling and you're just sitting there getting your picture taken. But, like, what – have you always been that level-headed, or is there something that, you know, you go through there and you're like, man, you know, just chill out. You know, it's 8 cars left. We haven't made a deal yet. Just keep doing it.
So, I mean, I'm not really sure. Cause when I first started, Chris Plott helped me a good bit, and he was always like, the one thing about you is you don't get excited or nothing. So he said that kind of – so I really don't know why, but it's just how I've always been. Which, I mean, of course, you get nervous too, but I guess I just don't show it like everybody else.
What makes you nervous? Because I mean, none of us have ever seen it. So, what do you? I mean, go. Obviously, you just won 40 off the top, right, at the Super Door Car Challenge. Was there a round in there that you kind of were like, all right, you know, chill out? There's Kevin Pollard maybe on the other side. I don't know who all was there. I missed it for the first time in a couple of years.
Was there, but I didn't have to run him. I don't know. Like I feel like I don't get as nervous top ball racing. But I feel like you're set up what you're set up. And
my house is burning down. That's what happens whenever your kid steams up the whole bathroom with the shower.
No fucking way.
So I guess he's got to go take care of the little guy, huh?
Yeah, I promise you it's always this much of a shit show. Every single fucking week.
There ain't nothing wrong with it.
It's always something fun.
I mean, you got
should have kids. Ball, you know. You should have kids.
I've got 3. They're lots of fun.
That's 4 too many.
That'll all change for you soon, young man, once you put that ring on that hand.
Carried on.
He must have us fucked up, Ryan.
You know, there's things that just, you know, the natural progression of life, you know, you meet them, you start dating, then there's the expectation that you're going to put a ring on there. And then
unfortunately, I skip a few of those stages every time. So
sometimes, and then once you put the ring on, then it's like the expectation is going to make some babies. Mm. It all comes hand in hand, brother.
Mm. Well, that's the life talk from Gary Dawn. So
thanks, Dad.
So, what's a day in the life of Lil Learn look like, other than, you know, probably answering 72 FaceTimes from Adam Keir telling me he misses you and all that good stuff? What do you, because you don't work at the marine shop anymore, right?
No, I got a job 15 minutes from my house over near Mooresville Dragway doing SolidWorks drawings, like 3D drawings.
Pretty cool.
I got my degree in mechanical engineering, so I kind of use that for my job.
So working on a fucking Mer Cruiser does not excite you one bit?
It did back in the day. Well, I was an A1 Mobile Marine employee for a while. But I got a chance to get out of the heat and get in the AC, so I took that one.
Imagine smart.
That. It gets kind of hot down here in North Carolina.
How long do you normally, like, you know, drive around town with a big check in the back of your car before you put it up?
So usually I try to take them out, but this last one stayed in my car for like 4 days. So I had people at the slot car track like freaking out looking at it, because I mean, all those guys think you actually won 40 grand. You know, by the time you split and all that, you don't win quite as much.
So I think I might have missed this. Did you tell us what you get nervous about? Because I think that's when Jake's fire alarm went off.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't really pinpoint. I guess just, I don't know, just losing, I guess. I'm nervous I'm going to lose.
Staging up for a million or?
So one of the, I mean, I haven't really – the biggest race I've ran was a 500 grander at Paul Fling last year. And then that first round was pretty nerve-wracking, I could say.
That buyback is nerve-wracking.
Yeah. Well, that was like Saturday in the 125, the buyback was 450. So that one kind of hurt a little bit too. I lost
Tell us about your trip to Gallat.
It wasn't really like much of a good trip.
Was it better than your last trip to Gallat?
The
last Fling trip to Gallat.
The last Fling trip to Gallat, I got down to 9 in the 50. So I'm going to say this one was far worse than that one.
Which trip did you get the Mustang out and have a whole bunch of problems with it?
That was 2 years ago when I tried to pick it over, yeah.
Yeah, that was a bad deal.
Yeah. So I brought the Mustang and the Demon earlier this year to Gallat, and I got down to 9 in the Mustang. I think I lost by 2 or 3 thou, and I would have had to buy at 5. So that one run cost me 14 grand.
Ouch. Minimum.
That one hurt.
You sound like you haven't forgot.
No, that one stung a little bit. This year, I didn't. I had a lot of close runs. I mean, I didn't turn on one win light in 3 days, which kind of sucked.
Hey, it's one of my weekends.
Wow.
Wednesday, I gave it back a foul first round in the white car. I ran the white car Wednesday just to do something different. First round, I gave it back a foul. Second or reentry round, I kick it 5 red, and my guy's 14 dead 9, so I'd have been decent. The next day, and the red, I got the red car out for Thursday and Saturday because it rained out Friday. I was 17 to my guy's 4 first round, double breakout. Well, I break out 3 thou more than him. Come back, reentry round, give it back 5 thou. Saturday morning, I tried to be one of those simple guys and dial honest, which I don't do often. Weather station said 48. I said, I'm going to dial 48. That way I can't give it back like I've been doing. I'm 13. My guy's 18. I go 1 above 1 on the rug to be behind 2 thou.
Then you beat the weather station with a hammer.
Yeah. Well, when I went to the lanes, because the weather moved a lot that day, but, man, I usually don't ever use a weather station. But I try to use it at the big top bowl races just because you don't really get it. I mean, you don't get a time run, obviously. But when I left to go to the lanes, the weather station said, like, 48.3. And I got back from my run, it said I was going 49.2. And I actually went 49.1. So I guess the weather just changed that much between when I got up there and when I ran.
Who's the better pit bitch, Adam or Big Earn?
Big Earn's been around a while. Adam kind of showed up this year and last year.
Big Earn never misses a water box pullout attempt.
No, ever. He's always there when I need him.
So we talked about this a little bit before we started, but you did not run juniors, correct?
That is correct.
Why is that?
So when I was growing up, I was born in Connecticut originally. We moved down. My dad used to race like Englishtown and Long Island and all that. When we moved down here, he kind of parked my car. My mom started racing a dart we had, and I just kind of never got into it. But I was like, I was too young at the. I wouldn't say I was too young, but we never bought me a junior. And then, like 2004-ish, so I would have been like 14. My mom quit racing, and my dad bought a stocker that Scott Macy ran. But they traveled. That was back in the IHRA days where you had to travel to win a world championship. You had to go to all these nationals. So he was gone with him doing that deal, and I just really never had the desire to run one. I'm kind of glad I didn't, looking back at them now, just because how annoying they can be, I guess. But I also think it's a cool deal for the kids to get involved.
So you started racing the Demon when? How old were
2008,
you?
2008, 17.
So you just jumped right in and – as I said earlier, just started kicking everybody's ass right off the bat, or what?
It wasn't really that easy of a transition. When I first started racing, so we had a little 340 in the Demon when I was like 16, 17. So I used to drive it to like Hooters for car shows, you know, this and that. And then, so when I first started actually racing the Demon, it would move like 2/10 in a day. Like it was, yeah, it'd go anywhere from like 788 to like 801. So, I mean, it was far from competitive. But
so does that force you to hold, like, 3/10?
it just forced me to be confused a lot. But eventually, towards the end of the year, we got it going. We put a different motor in it and put a lot better stuff on. It was going, like, 7.0s, 7.20s. And I actually won my first race that year in September, which was kind of a cool deal.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, but, I mean, by 2010 – you win 2 track championships, right? I mean, that didn't take long.
Yeah. 2010, I won Farmington and Piedmont's points, and I actually lost a runoff to Chris Pott at Mooresville for a 3rd one.
Oh, wow.
And then, yeah. So I could have won, like, all 3 close tracks in 1 year, which was something only he's done, I feel like. Maybe 1 or 2 seldom, you know, not many people have done it. And that was the year I won bracket finals. It was at Farmington. And I think I won. It might have been Loose Rocker, but I think it was before it was called Loose Rocker. It was a 5 grander at Coastal Plains that Anthony put on before Beard. I think it was before Beard joined them. So
did it just come more natural, or was it something your dad helped you with, or you just picked up?
So when I first started, Chris Plott helped me a ton as far as like advice and what you should do or shouldn't do. I guess it still comes down to you actually have to do it. But it helped me not have to learn the hard way, I guess.
You kind of live in like the mecca of drag racing, really. I think at one time there was over 50 operating tracks in North Carolina. Piedmont's always got a home field to it, no matter where you're from, I think. I've never been to Farmington, I've never been to Coastal Plains, but I've been to Rockingham, I've been to Charlotte, I've been, you know, a lot of those stuff, and you really don't get to race at Charlotte because it's a national event track and that's about it. But yeah. Where do you feel the best rolling into?
So, I mean, my home track to me is Farmington. I guess it's where I won my first championship, so it kind of has a special feel to it. But I've had a lot of success at Farmington over the years, and the people there are really, really good for me. She operates it. She's always been really nice.
I need you to impress me a little bit more than that. Jordan Weick won a track championship at fucking Farmington, okay?
No, Jordan never did. He won two at Piedmont, or one or two at Piedmont. He never won at Farmington.
No, I feel like it was Farmington. Come on now. Don't.
No.
Okay. Well, not. Then you've done something.
Michael has.
You've done. Michael
won like two or three there.
Yeah, Michael's done it, and Michael owns like every $5,000 at Rockingham ever, so.
Yeah, he has a lot of success.
So yeah. Do you wish that Loose Rocker had more races every year?
What'd you say?
Do you wish that Loose Rocker had more races every year?
They kind of got a lot going on next year, so I think that's plenty. But
you seem to win a lot.
75,000 off the foot.
That's
something that you didn't really think about Loose Rocker, you know, doing, which, you know, not that they're not capable of it. That's normally just not in their wheelhouse. You know, the 40-grander and. You know, really, that's about it. And you know, it was big when they announced the Bigfoot 40s, and then the Super Door Car Challenge. But now it's $275,000 races, one off the top, one off the bottom. How's it going to feel getting your ass beat by a Vega wagon in the final round? That's what I want to know.
If it's in the final round, I don't mind. That means I'll be getting paid pretty good.
I mean, he's not going to get paid very much if it's a split deal. So I'm just saying.
No, we might have to try harder then.
Yeah, I was going to say you must plan on having a hired gun.
Wipe the deep off the window.
Just put deep AF.
Yeah, I mean, it is cool that they got all that going on an hour and a half from my house. So.
Yeah, it's not an hour and a half from my house. Yeah. So, but I'm in a little group message. I told them if I'm not working that weekend, I'll probably be in Piedmont. 75,000 off the bottom is hard to miss.
Problem is he's got to drive through Indiana to get there.
Yeah.
Like a detour.
Yeah, fucking, it's Vega wagons would be looking fucking weird getting towed by a fucking Suburban, but fucking dad van's going to be doing a wheelie all the way to Piedmont.
The hook and hillbilly.
What?
I said the hook and hillbilly.
Yeah, I mean, I did all right, Bristol. I mean, wheels are going to probably fall off of it, literally, this next go around, but.
You had a good outing.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking to. They had talked Chase Rampy earlier in the year because beginning of the year I did pretty good. We have a race called the Third Bowl Throwdown in Oklahoma. It's at Thunder Valley, and I got down to like four cars or some shit like that. And Rampy had done good the night before it. We're at Holly Springs, you know, and everyone kind of rags on us a little bit for not really racing all that well. And I was like, we just show glimmers of greatness, and that's all. That's what I said. Bristol was. It was just glimmers of greatness. I'll go back to being shit the next time I get in the car, which is going to be in not next weekend, but the weekend after.
You going to Memphis?
I'm going to Memphis, but I'm not racing in Memphis.
Oh, that's the weekend after.
Yeah. Fuck. See, this weekend, we've got the old Cow Pasture Nationals. Then,
or the Bristol Million.
Yeah, or the Bristol Million if you're anybody else.
Or like me, bracket finals.
Yeah. We had iTrade bracket finals this past weekend.
That's what we got.
Then I go to literally Sunday after the last car goes down the racetrack at Ardmore. I'm packing my shit. I'm driving towards Memphis because I got to start working Tuesday. And then I'll work Tuesday through Sunday. And then that next weekend, there's a race called the GPE Bottom Bowl Blowout. It's in Kansas. Okay. And I'm driving from Memphis to Kansas, and part of my deal is I get to race that one. But a little curveball on that, I have no idea what I'm fucking driving because the guy said, I found you a car, but I'm not going to – like, he hasn't told me what it is. And I've asked him a couple times, And the guy's name is Jonathan Mockins. He's a really good bottom bowl racer from the Midwest. But he's like, yeah, you'll figure it out when you get here, basically. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, that might not be a good thing.
Yeah, well, Friday night we have a five grade. It's like 32 or 64 car, 250 dinner, five grand to win, or a 24-foot enclosed trailer. Whatever you choose. Well, I have nothing to put a fucking 24 to put inside of a 24-foot enclosed trailer. I have a hardtail dragster that barely fits in the 26 or 28-foot trailer we have sitting in Ardmore. So
put a wagon in there.
You could fit a wagon in there. But if that wagon lived in Texas, that'd be one thing. Yeah. It doesn't. It lives about 12 hours from me. So
I'm actually going to stay in Memphis for the next week, the world final.
Yeah, you qualified again, didn't you?
Yeah, I ended up winning at Pharmacy, which I didn't think was going to happen this year. But
was it between you and Carson?
No. So it's actually between me and a lot of people. I missed a points race to go to the fling at Galat earlier in the year.
Okay.
And Farmington doesn't drop any races. So, and again, of course,
the way God intended,
it got cut short with all the COVID, you know, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And with five races to go, I was 15 rounds behind the leader.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And there was like three or four people tied or close to the top within two or three rounds. And the first one of the five, I semi'd. But when I semi'd, one of the guys ahead of me runnered up. So I gained on three of the guys, but not all of them. Well, the next points race, I runnered up, but once again, there's two guys ahead, another guy that was ahead of me. And then the next race, I runnered up, but once again, somebody else ahead of me. So we had two races in one weekend to finish it off, and I went in five rounds behind, and everybody ahead of me lost third round. And I ended up winning the race to tie it. And then the next day, I think I lost fifth round, and the guy I was tied with lost fourth round. So I ended up winning by one round.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It was – I mean, it's something you know is possible, but you don't think it would happen, you know?
Now, just a question for you there. What's more gratifying, being able to come from 15 rounds back to win a points title or win the 40K?
I'd probably say the 40K just because there's not – I mean, they've only had – I think Loose Rockers had four of them now.
Yeah.
Three the first weekend, and then they cut it down to 10, 40, 10 the next year. So, you know, it's kind of a prestigious thing for a foot brake guy.
Gotcha.
But, I mean, coming from 15 back, that was one of my coolest things I've probably done.
So what about the IHRA thing, the world championship? That's a pretty nice payout, too, for somebody.
Yeah, I think it's 20 grand to win.
And a trip to Aruba.
Yeah. So the crazy thing is, one year when I won, Pollard used to put on the Money Fest deals,
mm-hmm.
or Money Tree, I think he called it. And
yep.
At Motor Mile, he had a 10. There's three 10s. We had a lot of cars. He made a 13 on Saturday. And I ended up winning the 13 grander. But that weekend, he gave away a trip to Aruba as like the points champion deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually won the points championship that weekend. So I still got a trip to Aruba floating around that I haven't taken yet. But
when are you just gonna be like, hey bud?
So I mean, I had one booked, but it didn't work out. So whenever I do decide to go, the guy, I think his name's Juan, he told me, I mean, as long as I pay for my own flight, then I still got the trip. So but I plan to use it eventually.
During the off season, be nice down there, sunny.
Yeah, it's probably really nice down there.
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
Well, never been.
I think Kevin won the world championship like one or two years before he did his races, and that was the prize for me. I guess it's always been the prize for IHRA.
Did he use it, or did he just give it away his race?
Yeah, he used it. I think he liked it so much, that's why they worked with him to do the giveaway at his race.
So my power went out. My bad. It's on me. I don't fucking know why. Obviously, the Wi-Fi's up to that, but I'm pretty sure I heard a car wreck out front. Not a big deal. It came back on, though. We're good.
They're driving out in front of your house, so obviously something broke somewhere.
Well, that's kind of like a thing about where I live is I live on, like, the only highway that gets you, like, one of the biggest cities in Indiana. The two biggest cities are on each side of me, and there's one highway that gets you to each of them. And, like, where I live is, you know, it's – it's pretty slick in the wintertime. And like where my road's at and where I have to actually bring my motor home in when I come home, there's a drop off. It's probably, I mean, it's steep. It's steep enough the trailer used to drag before. I drag it so many times it doesn't drag anymore. But there's been like two people that have died in my road, and I live on the shortest road in the county. It's literally like drop off, a paving company's holding lot, and then like everybody else is the last name Hodge and back on the highway. Yeah.
Look, if you're anywhere near Innovative, it's probably sketchy where you're at.
I'm like an hour south. Right. It's pretty rural.
Place a little rough.
Innovative is a slot car track for anybody that doesn't know, and it is in it's over by Garfield Park.
Well, actually, I take that back. So I went to hang out with Gleghorn last year in Oklahoma, and that place is a little rougher than Innovative.
How about the slot car?
Yeah, the slot car million was fun last year, though.
Yeah, it was a good time.
He's saying it was kind of sketchy though. Where were y'all at?
Oklahoma City, or it's in Dell City, Oklahoma, which is like just south of Oklahoma City. I don't know how to explain it to y'all. It's not like the nicest neighborhood ever, but it was fine. We got to see almost domestic violence at the Buffalo Wild Wings.
Twice.
Yeah. Almost.
Same night.
I just went one thing to go my goddamn way.
Let's see. That should sum it up for you guys about Oklahoma.
Was that something Lil Earn said?
No.
Oh, some dude walked in and got arrested right in the middle of B-Dub.
Oh, huh? Yeah. So we're sitting. We usually have this big, like, family dinner at somewhere, either the night before or the night after. We did it both this year. So we go to Buffalo Wild Wings the day before the main event, and we're all having a good time. And there's this family, they got up to pay or something, and the guy starts getting into it with the waitress or somebody, or the manager or somebody, saying something about the waitress called his wife something, or I don't remember all the details. They're going back and forth, and the waitress starts yelling at him, and we're just sitting there trying to, like, waiting on our food. Our food hadn't even got there yet.
Well, you're at Buffalo Wild Wings, so sometime tomorrow you should get it.
Yeah. So we're just watching the white trash fuckery, that guy at the end of this deal screams, "I just want something to go my goddamn way." And then about that time, they're getting ready to leave. Cops roll in. They have him, but then they like rush inside the building.
Yeah, they're
and did they drag
else.
Someone else out?
Yeah. Yeah, they had some guy sitting down. He said he sat down just to get a drink. He wasn't eating.
Yeah,
they arrested that guy.
This guy just sitting in a booth by himself, and they drug him out of there. I don't know if he murdered somebody, which is very possible in Dell City. But like, I didn't want to tell you guys this, and I'm pretty sure I didn't tell you this before. But someone has died right outside that slot car track before. Someone got murdered right behind it.
I could see it.
Yeah, I wasn't gonna tell you that till after y'all got off the airplane. But yeah.
I think the guy also charged us like $58 to bring us like 5 miles from the airport to the slot car track.
Yeah, that's Uber.
Yeah.
If you're like one Uber in Dell City and you're paying for him.
Hey, you know what? Little Rat said fuck that Uber one time.
Yeah, he walked 3 miles with a slot car box.
That sounds miserable.
Fuck, yeah. 3 miles? It was fucking like 15.
Oh. I wasn't there for that one. I heard it was a rough day. He took a Greyhound down, right?
He took a Greyhound 15 hours from somewhere around Nashville to Oklahoma City, and then he walked from wherever the bus station is in Oklahoma City to the slot car track. Slot cars in one hand, clothes in the other.
Yeah, I got to pay the $60.
I don't think he had it, bud.
That guy was real excited, too.
Hey, he's never lost at 9 cars for 50. He didn't have the $60 to take an Uber ride. Just think of the $14,000, though, you would have had he turned the wind light on.
Yeah, I could have had a lot of Uber rides.
So give me – you've got the Demon, obviously. That's kind of what's really, really made Ernie Humes, but if you were to build one race car right now, what would you build?
Probably a Red Demon.
But say they never made one and it wasn't in existence.
A red dart.
Yeah, probably a red duster. People call my Demon a duster anyway. So.
So have been a Mopar guy?
So, yeah, just because my dad's always been a big Mopar guy. So, of course, that's all we've ever had. But I do. I mean, I've always been a fan of, like, the 60, late 60 model Camaros, like that body style Nova, you know. But for sure, I mean, Demons and Dusters.
I take it you're planning on digging or not hearing this podcast by you saying that.
No, he knows. He knows.
Your dad's done a lot of stuff for you in your racing career, but like he's ultra talented other than, you know, just putting race cars together, because he built me a slot car identical to the Chevelle that I was like, nah, you can't get it that close. He's like, no, it's either going to get smashed with a hammer or it'll be identical. I'm like, nah, ain't no way. He put the freaking license plates on it, okay?
Yeah, he tried to get it close for you.
And you know, it's like one of the nicest slot cars I've ever looked at on my phone and have paid so much for and have yet to see. But
you don't even have it yet, dude.
I've yet to see it. But was he always into that whenever you grew up, or is that, did that start back at that banquet at Piedmont?
Well, I mean, I guess growing up, I mean, he's got a lot of models, like built models at the house, like in cases, I guess he did when he was younger. But when I was a kid, he didn't really build much model. But I think it kind of kicked back off when I found out about slot car racing.
Makes sense. Checks out.
Just sounds a lot like Ross Raglan's dad. It's probably not to that extent, but have you ever seen pictures of Ross's dad's house?
I have not.
So there's an entire wall literally from the floor to about 2 feet from the ceiling, and it's just a big glass case full of model cars that he's built, and they're all like nostalgia funny cars, such pro stock cars.
That's funny. Like,
he has a blue Mack shrine right before you walk into the kitchen.
It ain't no Jody car.
You say these things.
Big Ern's got a Jody stash hidden away.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, man. So we've got, obviously, you said Memphis is on the schedule, and you're probably going to hit one more. Loose Rocker's got a fall foot brake frenzy, right? And
they got the big door. They got the 10-20-10 door car race that I was lucky enough to beat Jake Hodge at last year, I think. Years ago.
I don't know. I've lost so many damn times. I don't remember.
They got the 10-20-10 top bull race, and they got the frenzy as well.
Oh, we actually raced pretty late, didn't we? It was four or five.
Second round or so.
No, that's late for me. That's late for me. But no, you're not really much of a points racer anymore. You usually don't put wear and tear on your equipment for points races or stuff like that. But does it ever make you want to go back to it? Because every time I get my ass kicked at one of these big money races, it's like, man, I can't wait to go home. Tell you what, I went home last Friday night. There's a 1,000-to-win shootout, top and bottom each, two different shootouts. I made one time run each, lost first round in both, no buybacks. I came back home.
I mean, even with me going all these big races, I still find at least one track to run points at for the year, which usually, I mean, I end up running Farmington every year just because I do like the fact of points racing. I know a lot of people that run big money races don't, but it's always been a cool thing to me. It's like bracket finals is always one of my favorite races. So I run points at least at one track every year. So, I mean, I feel like the little races like that, I mean, I'm not going to say little, but of course, I mean, you have to support your home tracks, but when you can win money there, it also helps you buy into big races.
So, I wouldn't know.
I mean, if you can make a couple $100, you know, at a points race, you can use that to buy in a big race.
Is that how that's supposed to work?
Sometimes, yeah. Not all the time, but
it helps. I think when you were disconnected, Ernie was telling us how he was 15 rounds out of first place with, what, 3 or 4 races to go?
That was 5.
Yeah, and end up winning the track championship by a round. So this year.
Congratulations, yeah. Ernie. Do you feel accomplished?
That one, yeah. That was pretty crazy.
Yeah. That's like you have to go at least 3 more rounds than that guy every race. Yeah.
I was telling them, it was multiple guys. The last 5 races, I semi'd, runner-up, won. When I won, I ended up tying the guy in first. And I lost 5th round. He lost 4th round. I mean, it took a lot to get there. I was telling them, it's something you think is possible, but you don't think it will happen.
So you got to think it's possible, and then it might. Okay.
Yeah, so, Ernie, if you won a big race and they tried to pay you in $50 bills, would you take it?
So that whole deal started with Michael Pastor. I really don't know why, but he always told me that 50s are bad luck, and he would never take a 50. And I try to stay away from him now just because, I mean, I don't know the point behind it, but it works for him, so I figured it'd work for me.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, if TG said it, we're, you know, fuck that. We don't really care about that. Yeah, MP said it. TG, yeah, MP said it. It's like the gospel.
Yeah. I'm going to go off of TG.
So we're going to be hitting the top, or are you going to go to the Great 48 at Memphis?
So I'll be coming off the top, trying to.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I ended up winning a raffle, actually. Matt Weston did a raffle when I won an entry for the million.
Really, yeah, that was he got that entry from me. I did a practice tree race that he won. Okay. And then, obviously, his wife or girlfriend or fiance or whatever she is.
Wow, way to go, Ryan. Sorry, yeah. Matt Weston.
Yeah, I don't know.
That just cost Matt Weston $8,000.
Nah, you know, the kid costs a whole lot more than that.
I think you told me if I won, I had to buy the baby diapers.
Like, for, like one bag of them? Or, like...
Buy for life.
Oof.
Until the kid grows out of them.
Thank you.
Kids go through a lot of diapers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess if I do good in the million, I can afford a few diapers for them.
Yeah, there you go.
Just in the case.
So... Before we wind things up here, and Gary might have something left, but if you could change anything about bracket racing right now, would you change anything?
Not. I mean, I actually like where bracket racing's at now because you got really affordable races and it pays a good bit of money, and there's a lot of them out there. So you kind of pick and choose and not have to travel. Well, for me, I don't have to travel far at all. So.
Yeah, you're in bracket racing heaven.
I mean, up until next year, I'm going to say, but the farthest I used to go besides me, I usually make the trip to Memphis when I'm lucky enough to qualify for the world finals, but the farthest I've ever been besides that's 3.5 hours to BMP.
Just to watch a fucking tractor go up and down the racetrack.
Damn cross no miss tractor.
Got no comment on that one.
I mean,
which I'm glad you did because now we're at Piedmont. So
I mean, I've got I've run points races further away than that.
Well, I think Coastal Plains is right at 4 for me because I've only been there 3 times. But I mean, I got Darlington, which is 2 hours away. Piedmont's 1.5 hours. Farmington's 35. Mooresville's 10. Bristol's right at 3.
Mooresville's 10 minutes? I guess yeah. It is that close, isn't it?
Yep.
Hey, Ryan, we need to move east.
Yeah, no shit.
Texas is a big state and they ain't got a whole lot of tracks.
Well, you know, we used to.
Got a bunch of fucking whiners is what you got.
Yeah, and now we don't have any racetracks anymore.
Because you got a bunch of whiners.
Too many whiners. There you go, Jake.
Let's run index races.
Oh, my God. We got a guy on Facebook today. Obviously, we got Cow Pasture Nationals this weekend, and then the Motorplex has a Redemption Goes Rogue is what they're calling it. And it's got index, and it's got bracket racing, stuff
please,
like that.
Please tell me the guy asked you to have index at the cow pastures.
No, he's begging people to sign up, to commit to go to Extreme, so they can add an index race there. I'm like, motherfucker, they got an index race at the Motorplex, and we're racing for $5,000 off the top and off the bottom. And this guy's a foot breaker, and he don't want to fucking come. He'd rather go run a fucking 7-0 race for $650. And a fucking hot link or some shit.
Yeah, that's Jake. That's what Jake Howard does, people. Jake Howard and Chad Sandlin's fault.
I went to Ryan, I went to that last Redemption race they had at the Motorplex. And that was actually a fun race. But
Sham Morgan does a good job.
You know what? They paid good money. They didn't have a ton of cars, but it paid good money, and it was a fun race. But all I really remember is the announcer for the no prep stuff just constantly, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Every time he's announcing this, it's just literally he says it 100 times before they ever stage up and race. So everybody in the whole pits was just going, here we go, here we go, the whole night. It was so annoying. But Shana did put on a good race. They didn't – you tell she didn't do a lot of bracket racing type stuff, but they did a pretty good job with it. And the track was fabulous.
Did she say, I don't understand the hype about a perfect run?
No, she didn't. She did good. But
someone else said that this weekend. But no, Mama Shane does a good job, and I'll put it this way, there's not a tougher promoter in the business. I'd rather fight Slate Cummins before I had to fight her. She'd tear me to shreds.
All right, Ernie, I got one more question for you. So who do you look up to in the sport?
There's a few. I mean, of course, everybody looks up. I think everybody looks up to Hastings just because of what he's done. I mean, for me, coming from the bottom bulb side of things, I mean, Nick's absolutely nasty off the bottom. And he's taken that into top and had a lot of success on top as well. I'd probably say him right now.
It's a good choice. We should all look up to him.
Well, I mean, that's kind of hard to do. He's 5'2".
And there's like no pictures on the internet of him. I've got a couple of stock photos. He's worse than, he's almost as bad as Adam Davis. They win races all the time and then you never can find a decent photo. I'm like, can somebody please take a photo? I mean, just take one. Thankfully, Luke Crouch has taken a few of Nasty Nick. So
all you got to do is message his mom.
The thing about Nick too is he's so humble. It's crazy.
Oh yeah.
As much as he's won.
I don't know if I told, I know I said it on podcast before, but I talked to Nick about whenever he went down to Holly Springs and swept the weekend, like at the Dream Team race. I go over there. I'm like, why are you in the dually and why are you washing your body with a water bottle and an old T-shirt? And he said, I race better whenever I don't have my motor home. And I said, what do you mean? He said, just bring me back to where I started. He said, we always roughed it. And he said, whenever I rough it, I drive really well. And I was like, you want to buy a fucking motor home? I'm about to go open trailer and pickup truck. Let's go. That's what it takes.
Hey, whatever it takes.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I didn't stay there long because that camp smelled pretty bad. I'm not going to lie. Whenever you win 30-plus rounds in a weekend,
yeah, I think Ryan, smell good.
Ryan and I, were keeping track in the tower at the 100 KFC, and I think he had 38-round wins or something, or staged up 38 times, and he won 34 of them.
Damn.
Unreal.
I know at Piedmont. He struggled a little bit, but he got rolling in the gambler's race. He had 2 at 3 in the gambler's race. And then Bristol, kind of the same way early on, and he got rolling. I think he doubled that gambler's race too, and he won. I think he brought his other entry down to, what, 7 or 4 or something like that. It was late.
Yeah, it was super late. I know he dropped one and then went on to win it, which, shocker.
Yeah, he told me it's crazy because he's like, he don't really care about the small races, and he does better. So he said maybe he should not care about the other races, or try as hard. I should
say. Hey, there's a pretty good story. When I drove Lucas's car at Bristol, he didn't bring 2 battery chargers because he just brought the 64.5 for a backup. Well, I obviously wasn't kicking Ryan out of my ride because why would I? It was making me money. And I was like, Nick, did you bring a 12-volt charger I can borrow from you? This was like on Friday or Thursday. He's like, yeah, man, yeah, come get it. And, like, he's doubled late on Sunday. He's like, hey, you think I can get that battery charger now? It kind of helps you when I double. I was like, Nick, I asked you if you had an extra battery. I've had it for 4 days. I was like, I just asked if you had an extra battery charger. Hey, man, it's no big deal, no big deal. I just needed to see if I can get it from you. It helps me cool down. They want me right back to the lanes. I'm like, I feel like a real piece of shit right now. Just the kind of guy he is, though. Like, if you're having an issue, he's right there, elbow deep with you. Fincham rolled up it at Ohio Valley for the 100 grand, and he's changing a valve body. Had no idea how to do it. Nick, you know, it was like 11:30 at night. Nick crawled over there and changed the valve body for him and said, "There you go, man. Should be good." And Fincham obviously doesn't have it on the lift in the stacker because that would make too much sense. He put it on, not joking, 4 1-foot-tall wooden blocks, and they weren't like, you know, treated 4x4s or whatever. They were built boxes. We raised them up. They were finished, stained, and everything, you know. There's a lift in the trailer. There's jack stands. It gets it up a little higher. No, we've got 4 boxes, baby.
Jeff Verdi built those boxes.
However, for the sake of crawling under and changing a valve body and rolling around in transmission fluid, I feel like I'd want the most room possible.
Oh, yeah, no, I definitely wanted the lift. But if you had nothing else, those things are pretty fucking sturdy.
Do you think you're good enough at foot brake to teach me how to do it?
Oh, they probably get you pointed in the right direction.
I get lost, man. There's a second and a half there I have to pay attention, and I get lost.
Yeah, I mean, we all do. You just kind of pull it off.
But in the daytime at Bristol, I blocked everything but the bottom in Lucas's car and staged it shallow, and I had a pretty decent spot. I tried to do that when it got dark in my car the other night.
Yeah, I've always heard, like, that doesn't work well at night.
Yeah, well, no, I saw my guy's tree come on, then something else happened over here. My tree came on, then his lit up again. You can see it all glaring off the windshield. And I've still got mine blocked, but obviously we can see it coming on.
Yeah, I mean, I've never tried the whole block and everything but the bottom, but I've heard it's a pain at night. And, I mean, most races we go to, you're racing at night. So.
Well, Well, mainly, I'm way out before then. So,
so your strategy's good, then you'll be all right.
Does it mean anything to you to be the only guy to do it for 40 off the top and bottom? That's something that would be my headstone. That would be like my whole life. I could die right then probably and be okay with it.
I mean, me and Anthony were talking about it over the weekend. I told him, of course, Nick's won a bigger race than that off the top and bottom. But I guess Loose Rocker's only had 2 40s off the top, and TG won the first one in the Rampage Camaro last year. But I guess I'm the only one to do it as far as Loose Rocker is
concerned. You won the Bigfoot at Darlington, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually ran a local guy in the final I race with every week. So, crazy.
Makes sense.
Pretty awesome. Cool. Man. Hey, good luck over the next few weeks. So you're heading to Memphis twice. Is that what I hear?
Yeah, so I'm going to do the IHRA bracket finals at Darlington this weekend. And then I got the Memphis Million and then the IHRA World Finals at Memphis the weekend after that.
All right. And then kick ass.
We got the 2 Loose Rocker races end of the year. And I'm not sure where I'll be between that, but I'll find somewhere.
All right, Ernie, who do you want to thank, man?
Of course. I mean, Big Ern, as you guys have said, he's done more than I could ever ask for.
Ernest Humes Jr.
Jr., yeah. He's junior.
Ernie is the third. EH3 is what we call him, the slot car world.
Yeah, that's my slot car persona. the guy that works with my dad, Dave Stebner, he has a yellow duster that you guys have seen Tez drive. Few people. Joe Foley drove it for a while.
My best friend, Joe Foley.
He does a lot of work. Dave does a lot of work on my car. Keeps it kind of going. There's a bunch of people. I mean, Randy Shire at APD, Champs Performance, Bruce and Lucas at Hoosier. I'm one of the off-brand guys that you guys don't like, but we rep the Hoosier gang over here.
I didn't say anything. I'm just listening to you.
I don't have a tire deal. I've run them all.
I run whatever. I ran Hoosiers for 20 years. I've had Mickey's before that and now after that, and I like them all. Had some good years in there, too.
Back in the day, I tried, when I ran the bias flies, I tried them all. But when I started running this radio, my car is so heavy on a bias fly, you get like 170-something runs out of it, and your sidewall is gone. But ever since I switched to the radio, I get like 300, 325 easy. Then you just feel you just feel bad for them, so you change them. There's been times I've had fabric showing, and the car's still really good. So I feel like if anybody could run a radial on your door car, a heavy door car, then I would say try it for sure. Because it's like, I mean, I get easily 150 more runs out of a set of tires than I used to get.
That's a lot. All right, EH3, man, we appreciate you coming on. It's been fun. Problem.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for getting excited, telling stories. We appreciate, we try to get you to stop talking.
I try to get pumped up for you,
You think Brandon Taylor ever visited Connecticut when he was younger?
Is that how he at? I don't know.
I was just curious.
I mean, you never see Big Ern get too excited either, though.
No, Big Ern does not get excited. Well, I don't know. I've seen him say that the racer appreciation meal is put out. Big Ern's getting there for some free food.
It's just for some reason I always seem to miss them things.
Yeah, you're usually still racing while we're eating.
I was about to say, you're still rolling and everybody else is sitting on the sideline waiting on dinner.
Yeah, we're good. Just man, thanks for coming on. And I hope to follow B. Hodge out that way. I've never been to Fast Tracks, but we're going to make it happen this winter.
So for any slot car guys listening, quick plug real quick. We're having a guaranteed $10,000 total race. So
cool. What's the date on that bad boy?
I'm not sure the exact date, but I'll let you know. But it should be, I think it's early December.
Early December.
Yeah.
Just give me Big Ern's phone number right now, and I'll call him, wake him up, and ask him.
he's snoozing.
Yeah. All right, man. Have a good night. Good luck, and I'll see you in Memphis.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Don't suck.
I'll try not. No guarantees. There you go.
Not a guy that gets excited, but a guy that's the guy that scares you when you pull up next to him at, like, I don't know, 4 cars or something. He just looks like fucking Eeyore, okay? Yeah, it's a bad day, Pooh. Yeah. The sun's out.
It was a good conversation. It was a lot of fun. But, yeah, he's definitely a very even keel kind of guy. I mean, even the video of his winner circle at the 40K was he gets out of the car. Yeah, we had a good day. I mean, it's just pretty, you know, he's almost nonchalant. And I'd be doing cartwheels probably if I won 40K. So maybe why I never win 40K.
I'd put my shit in the fence for 40K.
I'd put your shit in the fence for 40K too.
We needed lug studs. Now we need a race car.
All right, guys. So, Ryan, what do you got this weekend, bud?
The 49th running of the Cow Pasture Nationals is this weekend. Kicks off Friday. I believe gates open at 10. We'll have Test and Tune, and then we'll run for $2,000 in both Super Pro and Foot Brake Friday night. Yes, I said Foot Brake because we don't allow trans brake buttons for two steps unless you have a stick shift car. Then we move into Saturday and Sunday. $5,000 to win Super Pro, $5,000 to win Foot Brake, and we have a sportsman class as well. It pays $300 to win. It's history. It's the biggest bracket race in all of Oklahoma. It's the most prestigious bracket race in all of Division IV, if you're asking me. Maybe bracket finals rivals it, but that's about it. It's going to be a good time if you're within the sound of my voice and you're not going to Bristol. Come on out, Ardmore Dragway. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, that should be a really good race. It looks like people always post a lot on social media after that race and just really have a great time. So,
yep. I hired me a second announcer for this one. So we'll have Bob Unkerfer working with me. So that'd be nice. Cool. We'll probably have close to 300, I think, on the grounds this weekend. So that's have awesome, Bob there. Obviously, that helps a bunch. And, you know, it gave me time to help Tara a little bit. So she ain't got to do everything on her own.
Good deal. I'm hitting the Southwest Junior Series, Little River Dragway, Temple, Texas. That'll be a fun little junior race. Let Austin make a bunch of laps and have some fun for a couple of days. And the junior is not tearing up shit right now. So we're having fun with it.
Give it time.
Give it time. So far, so good. But, yeah, it's a good time watching him learn and trying to figure out this little car. And it's actually really good. And he's just got to learn how to drive it. And so far he's doing pretty well. But the last race we went to, I will tell you that there's some tough competition at this thing. Like, every kid is good. There's none of these cream puffs, you know. So he's been competing against top talent. And he's beat a couple of them and gotten beat by a few of them too. So it's been pretty fun. But we'll be doing that and then heading to Memphis for the Guaranteed Million – what, the week after, right?
Yeah. that's a big day.
It is a big
almost day. Almost as big as the fucking trophy that got presented this weekend. So
what do y'all think the coolest part of that whole, like, photo they put out? They got the jacket and pants, the trophy, the belt, hell, they got everything.
The fucking belt for me. I don't know. Not a lot of people know this. I'm kind of a little bit of a wrestling nerd.
Mm-hmm.
So the belt, I was like, hell yeah, that's pretty fucking badass.
I think whoever gets it, give back at $100, they do a big Ric Flair woo when they get that belt. What do you think?
Oh yeah, got to. the fucking trophy. I kept hearing about this damn trophy, and I didn't get to see it till it got unveiled, and I was like, holy shit, we got a whole Mosier rear end, Delta wheel. There's like, I tried to count it. There's like $2,700 in cash, and then yeah, Jaron Settles painting the whole thing. It's pretty trick.
It's pretty crazy. So we got possibility of a million this week at the Spring Fling. What is it? Spring Fling.
Million. Spring Fling Million.
Then Bristol.
Presented by Optima Batteries. Yeah.
And then the following week, the Guaranteed Million. So we could race for a million. 2 weeks back in a row. That's pretty
awesome. We could, but we're not.
Well, no, we as in bracket racers in general. Whoever's going to be at those two, not us three.
No.
So I'll look forward to seeing everybody on Saturday. I will be coming in, flying in hot on Friday night late to Memphis. So, and then the following week, I'll be flying out Thursday morning early to hit the Fall Fling West. So I got lots of fun over the next few weeks. So looking forward to seeing you guys in Memphis.
Yeah,
we'll be there.
You sound excited, Jake.
I'm
excited for sports to get over with.
the football team wearing you out or the baseball team's wearing you out?
The baseball team's done. Saturday, we won the championship.
There you congrats. Go. Well, congrats, guys.
Yeah, thanks.
you did a whole lot.
So my kid, right? My kid is very quick. My kid is very athletic. However, when it comes to catching baseballs, he gets scared. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we're up one run the second to last inning, and the ball gets drilled to left field. And I thought, oh, God, no. There's two runners on base, two outs, and it's hit right at him. Well, actually, it's hit probably 5 feet in front of him. He runs up and snags it, like drags his glove on the ground and gets under it. And I'm like, did that really just fucking happen? And the team that we played only had 8 kids show up because they had the last traveling baseball tournament somewhere else. And a lot of the kids that played travel ball played league ball this year because it's not in the right time of year normally. So on the 9th batter, they had to take it out. So the last inning, their tying run was on third. There was a full count at the plate and 2 outs. We called time and we walked the kid. Because they have to take it out in the last batter because it's an empty slot. There's not 9. There's only 8 kids. So we walked the kid at the plate at a full count. They had to take it out. Game's over.
Oh, my gosh.
That's dirty.
We get real at 9 and under.
Oof.
Oh, gosh. Oof.
Did you have to have armed security guards get out of there?
The guy, the other coach was not happy.
Can't blame you. I mean, it is for the championship.
And most of our kids that are on our baseball team also play on our football team. We had a game 3 hours prior to the championship baseball game, and they were not having it.
That would be just about the equivalent of a JBR turning his wheels and the beams and ended up getting somebody counted out in the final round of a million or something. That's what you just pulled off.
You know, and internally it was one of those things like, man, let them play. They're kids. And at the same time, like, We're fucking teaching these kids to win. Okay, we're being winners here. They don't call it advising these kids. It's coaching. That was a coach move.
Yep. Well, congratulations. Oof. Now you just have football left.
That's not going to happen. Yeah, we're not.
You're done.
No, we it's third and fourth grade football. We have 4 fourth graders.
No. Okay.
How much more football y'all got?
The tournament game is Sunday this week.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And we're away. Not looking good.
Ah, well.
But we lost 12-0 last weekend, and the only shining spot was Easton, of course, showed up out of nowhere and picked one pass off, and that was the only thing good we had happen for us. And then he tripped over his own feet and fell down. So you'll have that. Anyway, that's enough sports talk. He's got a tournament game Sunday. I'm going to go take him junior racing Saturday at the US 41 Motorplex that I have yet to be at because I promised 3 or 4 times I'm showing up and I end up somewhere stupid like Crossville. It's her fault, not mine. On top of that, we're going to go junior racing for like $500 or something. There's 3,000 off the top, so I'm going to go give him $150, $150 to buy back. We're going to come home, go to the playoff football game Sunday, and then leave for Memphis probably Monday night.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Are you bringing the hook and hillbilly to Memphis?
I am. I could go get the stacker and get the Chevelle and put the wagon in the bottom, but I have to go from Indiana to Augusta, Augusta to Memphis, Memphis back to Augusta, then Augusta back to here because he sold both of his motorhomes. We are looking for a tag axle toter home, no less than 500 horsepower, by the way.
All righty then. It seems like there's a lot of people looking for toter homes right now.
Yeah. He sold both his motorhomes and then he traded another motorhome he had for a 69 Camaro and turned around and sold it or something. So he's ready to buy a toter home. However, I'm not driving my motorhome all the way there, then to Memphis, then back to Augusta because that's a haul, and then back to Indiana. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'll just take my trailer and we'll be good.
All right. Peace out, brothers.
See you.
See you guys.